We went through this earlier today, but it prompts the question, doesn't it? Where is government when you want them? Useless, aren't they? I don't know how many times in the past I've spoken about this flying fox menace, and I only do that because you're writing to me. I had a note from Niall Blair, who's the Minister for whatever, Primary Industries or something, in the Berejiklian government. And he wrote to me because I'd made comments on air about feral pigs and kangaroos and the risk these were to agriculture. I called them agricultural menaces and flying foxes. And he wrote back and he said, I support, Alan, any measure to control any animals that impact on the productivity of our farmers. This is Niall Blair, the State Minister for Primary Industries. But those efforts are complicated by the fact that flying foxes and kangaroos are native animals and therefore fall under the control of the Office of Environment and Heritage. He said, the Office of Environment and Heritage has a kangaroo management section which allows commercial licence holders to harvest the four largest roo species, being the eastern grey, the western grey, the red kangaroo and the wallaroo. He said the New South Wales National Parks and Wildlife Service also issues non-commercial licences to shoot kangaroos where they cause damage to crops and farms or threaten public safety. I'm assured those licences are very easily obtained by private landholders. Then he says this, the challenge of flying fox numbers is even greater because of their ability to move on rapidly. But the government's spending millions of dollars to prepare management plans for council areas affected by flying fox numbers. God, who wrote this? But again, as a native species, it's complicated. We've previously spent more than $7 million to subsidise flying fox netting. So in other words, don't get rid of the flying foxes. Waste your money on netting the orchards. And that's all he says. Minister for Primary Industries. Well, those of you listening, the phone was on fire this morning about all of this, because I mentioned that there are flying fox permanent colonies in Sydney, at Parramatta, Centennial Park, Gordon, Walleye Creek, Clyde, Cabramatta, Avalon, Macquarie Fields, Kareela Park. They're permanent. And then seasonal colonies, Oakley, Warriewood, Fairlight, Gladesville and Kurnell. I mentioned about the Botanic Gardens, where they destroyed 28 trees and 30 palms and damaged a further 300 trees. And then people rang me from Gundagai, they rang me from McLean, they rang me from Redcliffe about exactly the same problem, but you can't move these things. They can kill people, kill kids, kill animals, but you can't touch them. They're protected under the New South Wales Threatened Species Conservation Act of 1995 and the Commonwealth Environment Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act of 1999. It's illegal to do anything, even to even disturb them, let alone do what I would do, cull them with an AK-47. Well, I've got on the line Councillor Russell Webb, and this is just a metaphor of the problem, and he's on the Tamworth Council, and they've now been run over by these things and find they can't do anything. Russell, good morning.
Good morning, Alan, and good morning, listeners.
Thank you for your time. How bad is this along the Peel River?
Alan, we've had flying foxes coming here for a number of years, five, in fact. And each year the colony seemed to be growing, and each year the impact on our community, be it the well-being and the health of our residents, and of course the well-being and health of some of the businesses that are close to where those flying foxes have camped, is all at risk.
Mm. I mean, the smell is unbelievable, the noise is unbelievable, and they defecate, and what they get past, excrete the virus, is deadly.
Look, it's a real risk to our area in particular, because we see ourselves as one of the equine capitals of the nation, and with our equine centre here in Tamworth, we need to make sure that everybody that comes and visits here is not put at any risk at all.
I know, but I mean, are these councils like your own? Pardon me saying this, but are they a little bit gutless? I mean, I know not you. You wanted something done, and then the council says, oh, well, what do we have to get a management plan together or something? Why doesn't council do something?
Alan, we'd do a lot, and we would have done a lot by now, except we're not allowed to by the law. And, of course, as elected members, we could be taken to task and, I guess, in some ways prosecuted if we did actually break the law.
I know that. I understand that, Russell, but I understand you had a meeting recently of the council, and instead of voting on a management plan, they voted for, quote, more information. I mean, how much more information do you need?
No, I think we've got enough information. What we supported was calling on the government to come up here, send their delegation up here, have a look at the problem that is causing, our residents and causing them to be emotionally terribly upset. They can't drink the rainwater out of their rain tanks. and let's do something about it, that where we can move them on, because we need to move them on to areas where they just don't impact the way they are around.
No, we don't want to move them on. We've got to get rid of them. I mean, these bats are protected and human beings are not. I mean, people listen to this program in Cairns. 4 years ago, a young Cairns boy died from an outbreak of this deadly lysivirus, which this mob spread. And the parents had to go through the torture watching their eight-year-old son, Lincoln, battle his horrifying illness. He'd just been scratched. It never occurred to him to report that to his parents. And now the parents have established a Lincoln, the son's name, lysivirus foundation to raise awareness and educate children to seek medical attention after any bat encounter. But we've got a bat colony, as I said, down in the Sutherland Shire. Craig Kelly, I spoke to him earlier today, where disabled children, the disabled children can't speak if they've been scratched by a bat. I mean, why? I'm just asking you as a local government person, Russell, a simple question. Why do we protect bats and not protect communities?
Alan, I asked that same question, and if I had my choice, I'd do a lot more about it than we're doing, but I don't actually have the right to do any more about it under the law the way it is or the legislation the way it's written. I'd find myself in a hell of a lot of trouble.
Good on you.
I'd love to do more about it and make our community a better place to live.
Absolutely. I agree with you entirely, and I will speak to Gladys Berejiklian about all of this. It's just a sheer nonsense. Good to talk to you, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you, listeners.
Not at all. There he is. What a courteous man. Campbell and Newman and I, the Queensland Premier, then Queensland Premier, had plenty of arguments when he was the Premier of Queensland. To his credit, he wanted to devolve authority to councils about this thing, about flying foxes, bats, and he wanted to pass legislation that would compel councils to act against them. And he wanted to overhaul the Local Government Act to make it a legal requirement for councils to put the interests of people first. And that was and I gave him credit for that at the time, Campbell Newman. That's the simple answer. So we can't be dithering around. As things stand, local councils can't exterminate bats or even move them on without permission from the state government. These things destroy people and animals, and you can't touch them.